The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, from you come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
May be seated. So our prayer says that we may live in peace and quietness. I'm not sure I want to be quiet. I think that, well, our first reading today tells a story. I'm going to sit here and I want you girls to come around this way a little bit. Jason, sit over here. Come on. The thing that I wanted to comment on in our first reading tells the story of King David and what he is doing, what he's about. But I have to do a little backstory. The Ark of the Covenant, a big box that the Ten Commandments were put in, that Moses brought the Ten Commandments to the people, and they thought, we should save these, we should make sure that these Ten Commandments, these stone tablets, are kept safe. So they put them in this ark, meaning a box, big box, and it took like six men to carry this box. But they carried the box with them when they went out to war or when they moved to a new area in the land. They carried this box with them because they said, this is the sign that God is with us. Well, this one time, they were out in a battle, and they had a big battle, but the other army won. So what did that other army do? They stole the Ark of the Covenant, and they carried it off to a foreign land. Many, many years later, King David went and got that box, got that Ark of the Covenant, and brought it back to the people. And he is so excited when he's bringing this box that he is dancing and making music. It says in the Bible, it says that all the people went with him to get the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God. And as they were driving this cart, David was in front of it. And it says, David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. So they were having a pretty good dance party, weren't they? They were so excited to be able to say, God is with us. Well, we come to church, and is this what we do? Dancing before the Lord with all of our might, with songs and lyres, and lyres are like a guitar, and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. Lutherans aren't really good at doing that. You know, we're kind of more shy. We're kind of more quiet. But I think that we should pray and worship God with all our might, just like David did. I was planning on having us do a little dance right now this morning, but I've changed my mind. It's too warm. It's too warm to expend that much energy.
It's actually not.
I'm just too shy. So maybe when you get up into your, maybe we can dance on our way out. So off to Sunday school.
A reading from 2 Samuel.
David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out to the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obededom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone in six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offering of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 21 responsively. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who dwell therein.
For the Lord has founded it upon the seas and established it upon rivers.
Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? And who may stand in God's holy place?
Those of righteous hands and purity of heart, who do not swear on God's name, nor do they pledge by what is false.
They shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of their salvation. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, O everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in. A reading from Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope in Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, we marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
King Herod heard of the disciples' preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask of me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. So she went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She responded, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for his guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison, and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
I really wanted to end that with saying the good news and have you all say, yeah, that was good news, wasn't it? Wasn't it? You know, we teach our children very much about the consequences of telling a lie, the consequences of being a liar. We say, liar, liar. See, y'all know that. And we say, you know what that means? Pinocchio, the story of Pinocchio. What happens? If you tell a lie, your nose grows long. But do we teach our children about the consequences of telling the truth? John the Baptist told the truth, and he got killed. Jesus, too, told the truth. Truth tellers take risks, and they suffer the consequences. I heard a radio segment on NPR on Thursday afternoon, and the story was about a truth teller and the risk that she took in telling the truth. In that South American country of Paraguay, domestic violence and violence against women is very common, has been very common, and actually it's culturally accepted. It's not usually reported to authorities, as it is seen as a private family matter, something to be settled in the home and not talked about in public. Well, all of that is changing these days, and that change started about 10 years ago when a very popular singer wrote and performed a song about domestic violence. She called the song Ella, meaning her. In strong words and encouragement, she encouraged women to walk away, to tell the truth, to speak up about their own situations. She took a great risk in telling that truth, and she did suffer the consequences. She was dropped by her sponsors. Her concerts were canceled. Radio stations refused to play any of her music. In short, her career was ended with that song. But that song also gave courage to women to start speaking up and telling the truth about what was going on in their homes. Today, 10 years later, laws have been changed, police and courts have changed their procedures, and after 10 years of no work, this singer is getting her career back on track. She spoke the truth, and she suffered the consequences for that truth-telling. Truth-telling takes courage. It takes conviction. It takes faith. Today's gospel is a gruesome tale of violence as well. I'm glad I don't have to read that story very often. It tells the consequences of telling out the truth that needs to be told and making choices based on truth. Some people want a relationship with God that is like their relationship with their insurance agent. You probably don't have a very close personal relationship with your insurance agent. You might not even know them by name. When the bill comes, we write the check, complain about how much it costs, and mail the check off. We don't think about insurance except to pay the bill. But then, when something happens, you're wishing that you had that person's name and number on speed dial. We want to be best friends then, when we need that person. The problem with treating God like an insurance agent is pretty big, because that's really not God. God's not just on call when there's a disaster. God is always here, extending his blessings and promises to us. God is always inviting us into a relationship that's based on love and mercy. God wants nothing to do with a part-time or convenience-only relationship. The truth is, having an insurance agent approach to God is really a barrier to the blessings. Because God's blessings are so abundant. You heard that in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. God wants to give us these blessings. More than we can ask. More than we can even imagine. That's what God wants to do for us. Who would say no to those blessings? Who would put a barrier between themselves and God's blessings? Herod did. Herod chose a barrier over the blessings time and time again. Now, a little bit of background before we get to the party and the dancing and the decapitation. Herod had sent his wife away, and he had married his brother's wife while she was still married to Philip. And it's a pretty messy family tree, because actually Herodias was a half-niece. I don't know how you get a half-niece, but a half-niece to Herod, too. So there was already messing going on in that family tree before John the Baptist called him on it. John couldn't stand silent seeing this wrong thing happening. He couldn't let something so blatant and so wrong go unspoken. Herodias, the former sister-in-law, now wife, wasn't about to let John's remarks go unpunished. She felt like she had been publicly humiliated by him because he spoke against her. Although her husband, Herod, had some respect for John, and he was intrigued with his message. It says in the gospel that he liked to listen to him. He was intrigued by his message. But Herodias only had revenge in her heart. So when she gets this chance, when her husband makes that wine-infused promise, she sees her opportunity. Herod says, "Oh, beautiful dance, my dear. How lovely. I'll give you a gift. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you." The daughter turns to her mother for a suggestion. You know, you wouldn't want to blow this opportunity by asking for something not as important as half of the kingdom. So she asks her mother for a suggestion, and the mother says immediately in her vengeful spirit, "The head of John the Baptist, who was in their prison." Now, this prophet, this man who had publicly embarrassed her with his truth-telling preaching, he would suffer the consequences of that truth-telling by his death. She chose to put a barrier between her and the goodness of God. And now we're at a fork in the road time for Herod. Choosing barrier or blessing? And what are the consequences of each? The choice the choice was Herod's, and he chose the path of human respect rather than the path of blessing. God's voice in the person of John the Baptist was drowned out by the revelry of the king's celebration and by his ego. Herod could have chosen blessing. He could have listened to John. He could have paid attention to his truths. But Herod chose to put a barrier between himself and God's blessing. He chose the pleasures of the present over the promises of the prophet. He chose to lie rather than choosing the truth. He did hesitate for a moment, but finally he gave in. Mark writes, "The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oath and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head." Look at the contrast between these two men, Herod and John the Baptist. John loses his earthly life and gained heavenly life. He chose to speak the truth, taking a huge risk. He did not let the barrier of human respect come between him and God's blessing. On the other side, Herod loses his spiritual life and puts an even greater barrier of ego and self-centeredness between himself and God's blessing. He's unwilling to speak the truth. He's unwilling to take the risk of truth-telling. I think we can learn something from this story of Herod. There are times and situations in our lives when we are forced with a choice between blessings or barriers, when we have to take the risk of telling the truth and the consequences that come with truth-telling, or we can stand behind the barrier of silence and human respect. I admit, sometimes I'm like Herod. Herod was interested in God's message, but he wanted to keep God separate from his own life. Herod respected the word of God, but he didn't want to get involved in it. Herod's life was so filled with the noise of this world, with a clamor for success, that it drowned out the prophet's voice, silenced God's word. Herod was more concerned about his personal relationships and what his friends might think of him than he was concerned with the truth and his relationship with God. Herod wasn't willing to take the risk of the consequences of telling the truth or acting on the truth that he knew. It's fairly clear in the gospel story that Herod had a certain respect for John and for his message. He felt a tug, but then he made the choice for success and for human respect, putting a barrier between himself and God's blessings. For Herod, it was the voice of John the Baptist that God spoke. Through John the Baptist, God's voice was heard. But God's voice comes to us in a lot of different ways. In the words of a song, or the voice of a friend, in the sound of the surf, or the brightness of the sunset, the silence of our personal devotion time, the events of a very busy day. God's voice can come through to us. Sometimes it's even a sad or disappointing event, but whatever it is, it causes us to take notice and to listen to God's words for us. It's at that point that we have an opportunity to choose the blessing or put a barrier between us and God. Herod had lots of opportunities to choose God's blessings, to pay attention to God's word. He had choices to listen to John or not. I wonder if Herod ever second-guessed his actions. Did he ever wish that he had gone to John's prison cell and listen to what he had to say? He missed an opportunity when he made that impulsive promise to his stepdaughter. Mark writes, "An opportunity came when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet." It seems that for Herod, one missed opportunity led to another bad choice. He was on a slippery slope that was a barrier to God's blessings. Where do your choices lean? Toward the barrier or toward the blessings? Are you able to take the risk of the consequences of truth-telling, of letting God be your guide? God's blessings aren't hidden so that we have to beg for them. We are already blessed with every spiritual blessing, Paul writes. We who are marked with the sign of the cross in baptism have been signed and sealed as God's own people. I've heard the saying, opportunity seldom knocks twice, but that's not true. The opportunity to hear God's voice, the opportunity to receive God's blessing, to strengthen our relationship with God, these opportunities are constant. Every time we gather in worship, every time we speak a truth, every time we choose justice over convenience, every time we have an opportunity for blessing rather than barrier, we are called to be truth tellers of the good news of Jesus Christ. We are called to be truth tellers all the time, all ways. So take a risk. Choose blessing over barriers. Choose justice over injustice. Choose speaking truth over keeping complicit silence. May we, the baptized, the beloved children of God, never let our pants catch on fire. Never let our noses grow long in complicit silence. May we courageously and faithfully always speak the truth in God's love. Amen.